Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations. Ante Up, it's your poker magazine.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's July 17th, 2020. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
I'm not sure if I should bring this up now or in the middle of our first item. I think I'll pick it up in the middle of the first item, so I got something okay. I want to talk about.
I want to start it off, show off a little non-poker stuff.
Oh, terrific. You've never done that before on our show.
No, I know I haven't, right? But, you know, it's a short show, so I figure I get a little rope here, right? So,
right.
So, you know, and I'll preface this by saying that this is a first world problem COVID story, okay?
Okay.
Lots of people doing way worse than we are, right? You know, even though we haven't published or done anything other than this show for, 4 years now, it seems like?
It seems like 4 years.
So obviously I'm not doing a lot right now. And my wife is at home working, and she's doing a ton, which is great. Because, you know, I enjoy exotic things in the world like eating and paying bills. So very happy for that. So I'm doing more of the errand running than I even used to. All right. So she's like, my car needs an oil change. Get right on that. And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I'm on it. And so I call up the mechanic, and he's like, well, we can get you in at 8:30 on Thursday. And I'm like, I know where this is going. The one thing on my calendar every week is 10 a.m. the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, it's an oil change. I think I can get done and get home before Chris gets whiny with me. So let's do it. And then what I do when I do the oil change is I drop the car off and I do my morning walk then, right?
Yeah.
So rather than sit around and, you know, smell other people's droplets with my mask on, right? So
yeah. So
I do my walk, I get back, and of course the car's not ready. And so it got ready in time for me to get home, but not the shower. So I am literally sitting in Scott Long's sweat right now doing this show. That's the dedication I have during COVID to our fans. So.
That's why we need a smodcast or a smell-o-vision cast or whatever. Smell Scott's B.O.
Like scratching stiff stickers back in the sticker.
I love the paradigm shift at Stately Long Manor now with her being the one that's yelling at you and stuff instead of you yelling at her. You got no recourse but to just take it now. It's fantastic.
You just got to take it. I can jump now, and how much higher do you want me to jump?
I love it. Yes, ma'am.
I did get to install a new soundbar yesterday, so I felt sort of manly instead of doing manly stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Very good.
But few and far behind.
Very good. I thought soundbars went out with, like, you know, like the Frisbee and stuff. I didn't think that those actually existed.
They probably did, but here's – I'm on about a 10-year behind the rest of the world tech stream now, right? So uh-huh. We had still had that old, you know, the little 8.1 speaker system in a box thing.
Yeah.
Which no one does anymore, I don't think, right?
No.
With those little crappy silver speaker wires,
and
right?
Speaker wires, yeah.
So it was a couple months ago we had some kind of lightning storm that blew out the HDMI out on our Blu-ray player. So that, of course, without the HDMI out, it's almost worthless, right?
Right.
Which is all the speakers and everything. So we've been using the TV sound, which is fantastic, by the way, because our TV's 10 years old, too. So the wife finally authorized the soundbar purchase, so I purchased it and installed it yesterday, got rid of all the Blu-ray, all the speakers, all the wires and stuff. And I literally found a phone cord plugged into our power strip. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
You've had a landline in 6 years.
At least. So you can imagine the dust that's been behind our TV as well, too. There's still phone cords plugged in. So.
Oh, man. Unbelievable.
streamlined here at Stately Long Manor now. So we are caught up and we are ready to rock 2007 now.
Nice.
All right, I guess we should do some poker now.
Yeah, sure.
All right, poker vlogger Ryan Joey is a mush. DePaulo won a World Series of Poker online bracelet this week while playing in the parking lot of the Whole Foods store in New Jersey. It's about the only thing you're going to catch me doing at a Whole Foods store. Later tweeting his setup with his laptop on the dashboard of his car. And meanwhile, Danny Negreanu went viral with an outburst when he lost his internet connection just as the flop was put out in another WSOP online event, which prompted many people to say, hey, it doesn't just happen to us. It happens to the pros, too.
So, like Scott and the 2007 soundbar, I caught up with the rest of the world this week and watched Tiger King.
Yes!
So I haven't seen it before. And I have to say, was I the only one who thought that Joe Exotic reminded me of Danny Negreanu?
I can see some similarities.
Just
there.
A little bit, right? It was just a
yeah,
little bit.
I didn't
bit.
Immediately think that, but now you say that, I can picture it.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow, this guy's crazy. Not that Danny Negreanu's crazy, because those are just my reflections of the series. And then I even watched the interview with what's his name from The Soup, whatever that guy's name was.
Joe. Oh yeah, yep.
And I tell you, that show. I mean, not to get off of poker or anything, but wow, and the connection that we had, because even I went to Life on Easy Street back before it wasn't called Big Cat Rescue, because when we first moved here, they had just started that, and we went there like within the first year or so living here to see those damn animals. And wow, what a show! I mean, wow, that was just crazy.
See?
We watched it all in 2 days.
Exactly. I was telling you this, and you're like,
but I wanted to watch it because I wanted to watch it. Not
guess who's
everyone caught
up 2007 too.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I finally caught up. But at least I didn't wait till 2027 to do it, like you in the soundbar here. But
now you've got to find all the Tiger King rabbit holes to fall down in. So there's all kinds of other specials out there now.
Okay.
You know, my friend Megan and I, we did a whole Tiger King themed show where we dressed up like them. So
oh, I can't wait.
There is plenty of content out there for you, Chris, that you have not even scratched the surface of yet.
But getting back to the show, I thought that was remarkable that the guy won it in a parking lot. That's just awesome to me. And I'm surprised like people aren't like calling the cops on guys in cars, because that's what happened like, in the neighborhood
too. I'm like, come on, if you're walking by and you see a guy in Jersey with a laptop in a parking lot,
I know,
I mean, really? And in a Whole Foods too. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, a Winn-Dixie.
You know, if somebody's in our neighborhood and you see a glow in their car and it's pulled over, immediately the cops are in my neighborhood. Immediately. So this guy's in Jersey. I mean, it's like he's putting on a hit on somebody. But anyway, that's remarkable. And it made me think about that's the world we're living in now. You know, I mean, the guy wants to be able to play online. He has to go to Jersey and be in a parking lot to do it, and he doesn't want to go into a hotel because you don't want to be around people, so he isolates himself, he quarantines himself within a quarantine to play a bracelet event and wins it. That's phenomenal. And like, if anyone's going to lose their connection, you think it's the guy in the parking lot, not Danny Negreanu, you know. Anyway, it was just some random stream of consciousness there, but
well, there's so much more about this I want to know too. And like I read the fantastic article our friend Chad Ottaway wrote for Poker News. I'm sure there's gonna be other articles, but one, how long was this tournament? I mean, I know it's an online tournament, but it's also a bracelet event, so this isn't like a 3-hour jobby
right,
thing.
Right.
This is lengthy, I think. So one, how do you keep the laptop charge through all that? I mean, I guess you could plug it into your car running. And,
yeah.
But that would attract even more attention, wouldn't it?
Running car. You can't have a running car and looking at a screen when you're doing it. They give you that warning every time, you know, don't look at the screen while you're driving. And then I think, like, what, he probably sustenance, right? He would probably wait till a break and then run into Whole Foods and buy himself a granola bar and then run back out again.
Quinoa or something like that.
Feng shui.
Or buy a $7 apple, whatever they sell there.
Exactly.
Cage free or something.
Don't get me started on Whole Foods. I got a lot I can say about Whole Foods. Won't even step foot in one of them places.
But, you know, here's the other thing. I'm assuming he used the Whole Foods Wi-Fi. I mean, I guess maybe, lots of some of these pros have their own little MIFIs and stuff like that. But I imagine if you had your own Wi-Fi, you would be at the parking lot of Whole Foods. You'd be somewhere a little bit more comfortable, maybe.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
Maybe not. So let's assume he did run it off the Whole Foods Wi-Fi. That's pretty awesome.
Now Whole Foods finds out and then sues him for using their Wi-Fi, and he's got to pay them an amount. No.
I think they can double down on this. This is a whole new market for Whole Foods. I can see the commercial right now. Hey, we used to be just a place for those of you that wanted to spend an exorbitant amount of money on food to come eat. But we're more than that. Our parking lot is poker.
The gray area of poker legality now can be exposed in our parking lots. Please show up at Whole Foods. Our password is we rape you of your money for food.
Oh, man. You can also do like one of those. They don't do them anymore. But at the beginning of COVID, all the we're here for you as you take care of yourself ads, right?
Yeah, right.
I can see the Whole Foods going, you know, hey, you hang out in the parking lot and you win lots of money. We'll be here for you.
Oh, man. It reminds me of when we were kids, we'd hang out in the parking lot of, like, convenience stores because you had nothing else to do. So you'd,
yeah, the gas and soup.
Yeah, right. You'd make comments about people coming by.
Choice.
Yeah, exactly. By choice. That's, what is it, the damn Say Anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they did a little spinoff of that on the Goldbergs, but it was a Wawa's because everyone knows Wawa's began Pennsylvania, and that's where the – but yeah, this guy just hanging out in a parking lot winning six figures. Unbelievable. Yep. Then he went inside. He can only afford three apples and a banana.
But then the Nagano thing, I mean, I saw the headlines, and I'm like, all right, I don't really need to see this. And finally, I'm like, all right, I guess they should look at this. And it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, which is why I kept avoiding all the headlines. I mean – yeah, he threw a little temper tantrum, but, you know.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, you know, heads up for six figures, and, you know, he had quad aces and timed out or something, but, you know, just simply lost his internet connection, you know.
Yeah.
Happens to the best of us, Danny.
Yeah. It's not like when I took my 16-ounce can of Surge and almost put a hole in the drywall when a guy hit a straight flush on me on the end, and I had the nut flush going to the river for a $700 pot on poker 888, whatever the hell that was back in the day. You know, that was a tantrum. This guy, you know, big deal. But it got me to talk about Tiger King, so it was worth putting on the show.
It did. And I will say, I mean, watching the Underground video almost made me want to watch some of the streaming of this when they you know, it was like the NFL draft, which I actually like really fell for this year. I thought it was really cool watching the families and their kids running around while they made the draft and stuff. It added something different. So I got to say, I'm not excited about seeing Danny Negreanu in that little short sleeve t-shirt thingy that he was wearing. But you know, I might tune into some of these a little later just to get the feel from home for him. So, all right. After a 6-year battle, Phil Ivey and the Borgata have reached an undisclosed settlement through mediation in a lawsuit that accused Ivey of edge sorting a baccarat, which ended with a $10.1 million judgment against the poker pro.
Yeah, finally it's over. I mean, it's weird that it settles now when he can't even play poker. You'd think it'd be like, all right, I got to get back into this because I can play. And you know what I mean? It's bizarre, but maybe it was just a long time coming. It's happened to be coincidental that it settles during this whole pandemic crap. But yeah, I wonder if you'll ever someday see like an Ivy room in the Borgata as part of the settlement or something. Like you agree to play here. Poker with our guys, and you know, or something. But I don't think there's ever a chance that they got all of that money.
I'm going to go ahead and say there's probably going to be a better chance of a Ryan DiPaolo room at the Whole Foods than there will be of a Phil Ivey room at the
You have to teach classes on how to look for edge sorting with our dealers, and you know, but I'm glad it's over. Let the guy play now or whatever, and Because they're chasing him all around the country. Wherever he played, they would look for the rights to seize the money, and that's how it worked when he cashed in the World Series that year in Vegas.
So a couple questions here that haven't been settled that aren't going to be answered, I don't think. But, you know, so they won the lawsuit, right? So they were due $10.1 million, right?
Yeah.
So I got to think the only reason you settle at that point is because you don't think you're going to get the $10.1 million.
Right.
Or it's going to be really hard for you to get the $10.1 million. So let's just, you know, try to get whatever he's voluntarily willing to give us and call it a day and not spend the rest of our lives chasing him around the country or the world, right?
Right.
I'm guessing that's what happened here. But it was like court-ordered mediation as well, too. So it wasn't like, you know, it didn't sound like the Borgata went to Phil and said, hey, all right, dude, I know you don't got $10 million, but what do you got?
What do you got?
Let's figure something out here. So I don't know. I mean, so much about the legal world I don't understand. I keep trying to learn. But, just a lot of questions. But, you know, it is done now. So, we'll have to wait for somebody else to edge short. So we'll talk about that later on.
We can't let that audio clip get out when you're running for office. So much about the legal world I don't understand. Elect me!
No, that's why we have a city attorney. I don't need to know. They just need to listen to her.
That's true. But I agree. I think if you read the article that says like he emptied all his bank accounts and they speculated that he put it in somewhere in Mexico. So the only money they're ever going to get from him is if he ever wanted to come back into the country and play poker, and then they have to seize the asset that he won. You know, and they're never going to get $10 million that way. So they just said, okay, what will you do? And he said, this is what I'll do. And I think he beat the system, really, if you think about it. I mean, we don't know what the agreement was, but that's pretty much beating it.
Yeah, it's hard for me, and probably hard for the Borgata, to understand that Phil Ivey doesn't have $10.1 million sitting around somewhere. I mean, the guy's been one of the most successful poker players in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's his name? Stu Unger, you know, he blew through his money real quick. So, you know, who knows? But
yeah, who knows?
It is kind of difficult to imagine that. Because not only was his poker money, but also his Full Tilt money. I mean, you know, he got Full Tilt as well, too. So.
Yeah.
But, all right, a group of 13 poker players in a home game in Melbourne, Australia, were each fined $1,652 for violating COVID-19 travel restrictions. The group was discovered as part of 1,347 spot checks of homes, businesses, and public places.
I found it interesting that website, The Age or whatever, like that was their headline, too, was the poker player angle. There are other people who there were big groups like a barbecue. They had KFC or whatever it was. But they chose the poker story as the angle, which was interesting.
I'm not surprised. You know, they always go for the shock value.
Yeah,
right?
They're always trying to knock us down.
But let's be honest. We were both mainstream journalists forever, but we can be honest in knowing that, there was some shock value going on in those news meetings, right? It wasn't just the best news. So
Yeah, that's true. It's whatever was going to get them to open the green box and pull out the newspaper that day.
It wasn't really even about getting people to buy newspapers. I think there was just there's a built-in thing as a journalist. Everybody wants to be, I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent here, but everybody wants to be the next Watergate, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there was this built-in in the media of, you know, going for the shock value of stuff. Not to the TMZ level, maybe, but, looking for that angle, so... Not surprised by that, but a couple of things I'm surprised about. One, that's a pretty hefty fine.
Yeah.
I hope this was a big home game. I'm hoping this is a Texas road gambler game, so that $1,652 didn't hurt too much for these folks. Or maybe I do. Maybe I do hope it hurts, you know, keep them from going out. But all right, the other thing, and we have a lot of Australian listeners still, I know, because they email us all the time. So... And I think now, seeing this, they've got to hate us as Americans even more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can't even get people in this country to put a mask on.
I know.
And Australia has people roaming around, authorities roaming around, doing spot checks of homes, businesses, and public places, and doling out $1,652 fines. Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine some of these arrogant Americans dealing with that?
We had a... In Pinellas County, I don't know if it was local or if it was the county thing, but there was a talk of if you're caught without the mask in public, it was going to be like a fine of $250 for the first one.
Yeah.
And then $500 for the second one or whatever. This one, a spot check, $1,650. It takes a lot of $250 to get to that point. So that's pretty steep. Of course, I don't know what the Australian dollars
worth. Enforced.
Right, exactly.
it's just kind of there, you know. I mean, I'm sure there. I mean, I haven't heard of a single person yet who has been fined in our county.
No, or in the country.
Really, anywhere, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know what the Aussie dollar is worth. It's probably like 8 cents, but
I'm pretty sure the Australians.
Yeah, it's pretty steep.
Doing way better than ours.
Yeah,
right now.
No, they're that's a pretty steep amount.
That might be $25,000 U.S.
Hey, it's pretty crazy, though. It is crazy. And if you knew those spot checks could happen, it's like everyone else, it never happens to me, but there you go. That's huge, though. That's a lot of money.
Well, I'm like, you know, when you hear about these wolf packs, you know, the DUI things out there, I'm like, even if I've had like one beer that night, I'm like,
that's
finding
right.
another way home tonight.
That's right.
But if I knew they had spot checks just for being out, not even having to, like, you know, do your alphabet backwards or anything, if you could cut, forget that. Sorry.
No way.
Hey,
not
we're going to assume this game tonight. Sorry.
And, you know, there's no way that home game had even that much. Nobody even brought that much combined. You put all those guys together, they probably all had about $100 with each other. You know, they're probably not even $1,650 on the table or on the tables because they probably had a tournament going.
Yeah, 13. Yeah, at least two tables. Wow. And that was just the group that was, like, roaming around. I mean, it could have been a bigger group. So.
Yeah, unreal. That's some serious cheddar there to for a fine. Brutal. But, hey, they're beating the hell out of us when it comes to beating this thing.
Hey, I'd go to Australia tomorrow if they let me, but I'm American. I can't even leave Florida right now.
Gene, it's funny you say that. Gene and I were just talking this morning about she could actually get dual citizenship with Canada if she wanted to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because all of her mom's side was French-Canadian, and they said it was actually pretty simple. She was talking to a lady at the pharmacy because she had a swimmer's ear or something from playing. Because that's all we do now is go in the pool with the kids. Cause, yeah. You know what I mean? So she's talking to the lady, and the lady saw Jean's name, and she's like, oh, Jean Cosenza, you're up next. And she's like, oh, you call me Jean. My mom used to call me, my grandma used to call me Jean. She's like, oh, you are French? And she's like, well, French-Canadian. She's like, oh, me too. And so they're all from Quebec, and she's like, you should consider it. This country is going down the shitter. And I'm like, yeah. But it's funny. We talked about that. We talked about Vanessa Russo today. You know, she had that dual citizenship with France. And, yeah, tell you what, if Canada was a little warmer, I'd consider it. But I don't know.
It's not a little warmer.
Yeah.
It's
funny you brought this item up because it says Melbourne. And then in the address, it says Victoria. And we started talking about how beautiful Victoria, Canada was.
Oh, yeah.
And how mild it was. The average temperature in the winter there is only is like 48 degrees Fahrenheit. It was like 9 or 10 Celsius. So, I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, it's not going to snow. You know, it's just going to be – that's not too bad. So, I don't know. Might see me in British Columbia someday.
Yeah, well, again, you're going to have to falsify not only your passport but your driver's license. We're not even allowed in Georgia.
Not even allowed in Georgia. Oh, man. It's unreal. I don't know. When's it going to end, Scott? Really? I mean, they said they got the damn vaccine on fast track or something. I don't know, but –
Yeah, who was it that pointed out that we were talking our show in April. We were hoping that we were in the height of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, oh my God, joke's on us now, right?
Oh, I mean, man.
Not at the height of it yet, folks.
And I was like, this second wave is brutal. I'm like, second wave? The first wave still hasn't ended, people. You don't even understand. You have to have zero cases to have a second wave. We had never stopped. And Florida's the epicenter. This is brutal.
Oh, man. All right, here's this week's update on casinos and poker room reopenings, reclosings.
Yep.
Chris likes it all. No, there are reclosings.
There are reclosings. That's right. The last item's a reclosing.
In Texas, Poker Nights Card Club has reopened. In New Hampshire, Concord Casino has reopened. In South Dakota, Saloon Number 10 has reopened. Very happy about that one. That was the one with that big Dungeons & Dragons die thing.
Oh, yeah.
Their dealer's choice, you rolled it, and that was the game you played.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven games on it. That place was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom has extended his rollback of reopenings to more counties, meaning most, if not all, 9 non-tribal card rooms are closed again. And I did not add to this file, but I'll add it now. The California Gaming Association, which is the lobbyist group for the card clubs, is now encouraging Newsom to use his powers to shut down the tribal card rooms as well, too, as a health emergency, even though they're on sovereign land. So see how that goes.
Hmm.
And then to remind you, antiupmagazine.com/reopen lists verified details on casino and poker room reopenings and reclosings. If you have any updates, email us at editor@antiupmagazine.com. Now working.
Still working. It's a record.
And we're also emailing a weekly e-blast with updates that you can subscribe to on the homepage at antiupmagazine.com. All right, so reopenings have slowed this week, obviously.
Significantly, yeah.
More closings. So, you know, I think we hit the high watermark of about 140 rooms that had reopened at some point during this. Maybe a little bit more, 142, I think, maybe. But then with the closings, dropped down below 100. So, fits and starts, but mostly fits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's to be expected. I mean, again, you can see that the plan for most of these places is to either wait it out or to drain whatever they can until they can open again. And I have a feeling that it's just going to continue to be this way, that we're not going to get any more than 3 to 5 a week now that are opening. And then until there's some significant downturn or until there's a vaccine, this is how it's going to be for the next 6 months. You know, 3 open, 1 step forward, 2 steps back, or whatever. What's that, Paula Abdul? You seen that new commercial where she's got, where she dances right next to herself? It's pretty wild.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. Wow.
Yeah, there's some,
a lot of commercials lately, too. Hmm.
There's some, like, movement drug that she's promoting where, you know, even though you're getting older now, your bones and joints and all this, whatever the hell it is, but she's dancing right next to her, straight up now, tell me, that video. She's, like, right next to herself doing the exact same dance, and it's like, wow, I'm impressed with that. So I don't know how I got off on that. How did I get over there?
You're kind of steps back. So a couple other interesting things about that. One, you know, we have our database of all the casinos and card clubs with poker rooms at least 5 tables. So there are more out there than what we have on there. But literally, I think we're down to maybe a dozen casinos that haven't reopened out of 400.
Mm.
So pretty much all the casinos are open now. I mean, we had the Massachusetts ones open this week, Maine, New Jersey ones. Even Borgata is going to open up here soon. So we're still out a couple of Michigan, a couple of New Mexico, a couple of sporadic ones around the country. But that's about it. So the casinos are open now. It's just a matter of when they're going to bring the poker back. So, you know, we always try to be rose-covered glasses and positive here. But the one thing that's got me a little freaked out now is that, if you're a gambler, if you're a poker player, I don't even say a gambler, but say you're a poker player, but you play because you like the gamble part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have that available to you. You don't have online, maybe you don't have a home game, and your casino is not offering poker or is not allowed to offer poker, which is the case in about 6 or 7 states right now. You're still going to go to the casino, I think, right? So. So now how much of that poker bankroll is going down the blackjack or slot machine chutes right now? So when poker does come back, how much money is going to be available out there?
Also, how many of those people are falling in love with another game now?
Exactly.
And might not go back to poker because they're doing so well at, you know, ribbing and stud.
Oh, it sucks out of me in the slot machines.
That's right.
Lining those 3 cherries up like a bitch.
Let me ask you something. So, do you get the feeling that there's no reason why these poker rooms shouldn't be open now, given that they've opened their casinos? I mean, we talked about before about window dressing and all this crap, but I mean, seriously, what is the difference between standing next to somebody playing craps or sitting next to somebody who can breathe right next to you because they're exchanging chips? Well, we already learned that really it's difficult to get it from picking up the chips. And when, I mean, if you're diligent about yourself and what you're doing with your hands and your wipes and your mask and everything, I just don't. I feel like a lot of these places are using this as an excuse to not open the room. I mean, I obviously have no basis in fact on that, but if you can open your casino and have that environment where people are picking up dice and throwing them, people are still betting chips at the table when they play Caribbean Stud or Baccarat or any of these other things, there's zero difference between sitting at a blackjack table and sitting at a poker table. There really is. I mean, you'd still touch cards at a blackjack table. You still touch chips. There's still a dealer facing you. And if anything, they're closer to you. I think blackjack table, you're a lot closer to the dealer than you would be at a regular table of poker. And if you took out the 1 and 10 seat or 1 and 9 seat. So I feel like a lot of these places are using it as an excuse to not open it.
I think there might be something to that. I think there's a couple other things too. I think, lots of these rooms, they don't have the option of even opening
right.
the poker.
Right, I know. But
gaming commission, so there's that. There are some a decent amount of casinos that have not opened their table games yet that are allowed to. They just haven't. So they're only doing slot machines because they feel like they can space and distance that a little bit easier, right. which, you know, as you mentioned, some don't are allowing blackjack and then traditional table games, but have not brought back roulette or craps because it's harder to distance. So there are some things like that I think are not just hate on poker.
But agree, right? There are enough casinos open that are doing games that are so similar to poker, yet they're not opening their poker, and they can open their poker, but they're not. There's got to be enough out there to make a difference to us, at least.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's also, I think people are trying to watch these plexiglass dividers and seeing how those work out. But I think that from what I've seen, that does take care of a good deal of the problems. You know, again, yeah. if you are believing as you should that it's more the sneezing on each other rather than the touching of the cards and chips, then the sneeze cards will take care of that, right?
Right.
But I do think there is some more that they're not really thinking of. 'Cause one of the things I thought was interesting is there is a couple of casinos that are doing table games, but you can't touch the cards.
All right.
So everything is face up, so you're not touching the cards. But as you just said, you're still touching the chips.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to minimize, I guess, the content, you know. So there is something about minimizing, even if you don't completely do everything that you can. So, but yeah, no.
A couple of thoughts. I visited my father the other day, and my brother came over, and he's like, "Hey, I think I got an idea." And I'm like, "What's that?" He goes, "This could really help." And I'm like, "Okay." He said, I didn't tell anybody about this invention yet. So I'm like, "Okay, what is it, Frank? Get me all excited, right?" He goes, "What if we invented an electronic poker table where nobody touches anything?" I said, "Frank, you do remember all the cruise ships that you've been on where they had the electronic tables there?" And I was like, you know, even the Hard Rock where you've been, they had, for a while there, they had electronic tables. And he's like, "Really? It's been invented already?" And I'm like, "Yeah, right, like decades ago."
Invented in Pan.
and it sucked. Nobody wanted to use it. But the other thing I was going to say, and I probably lost my train of thought here, here's a real invention I think they need to come out with, is if they can invent a card shuffler that sterilizes the cards every time it shuffles.
Oh, there you go.
Right? I mean, all you got to do is you got to have a ultraviolet light in there or a spray, whatever it is. But every time you put the deck in, it goes down, comes back out, shuffled and cleaned every time.
Yeah.
And if it's moistureless, you know, there's no liquid at all or whatever.
The UV light's probably the way to go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Or just a standard household flashlight works too.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
Nope. Oh, hey, I can't even believe I forgot to put this on the show. So we're way off script now, but I do have to mention this because we have a lot of our Antia Poker Cruise listeners that found our show from cruising with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really was you and our friend Ramsey and Brent all got on there and did your jokey jokes, which are fine because they were funny.
Right.
And they're all true. But it is a little bit bittersweet to me to have read this week that the Monarch of the Seas, the ship that we have used for more than our Anna Cruises than the other ship, has sailed under the Rainbow Bridge into Turkey and is being carved up in a scrapyard there, never to sail again. It had been sold. Royal Caribbean did dump it 10 years ago, I think, to one of their smaller lines. But then they couldn't get anybody to buy it for $125 million. Didn't ask us.
I know.
But so now it's being scrapped. So I don't know. I just had some.
I did wonder how you found that story. Like, why did that even come up on your radar?
It was in my news feed because, you know, obviously I pay attention to cruise stories. So
yeah.
Google knows what I want. And
wow.
But, you know, it was clickbait. You know, it didn't say which cruise line or cruise ship. it did say Royal Caribbean. I'm like, all right, this has got to be the Monarch. I can't believe what else they're going to get rid of. So I had to click on it. And I'm like, I had the Monarch. And I did. I had a little cry.
A little tear came down your eye.
Yeah, a little cry. And my poor Monarch. But, you know, we had so much fun trashing that ship. Not literally, not like we threw chairs around.
No, verbally.
Verbally trashing that ship. So, and my favorite memory of us, of the verbal abuse we gave that ship was when we were at the dinner table, and I don't know if you were there that night, but I know obviously it was Ramsey next to me because he's the one that said it, but the maitre d' came over, you know, on the last night like he always does to make sure he gets his tip.
Right.
And he's like, yep, you know, we're going to get there tomorrow, and then you guys are all going to get off, and then we're going to have this thing looking brand new before everybody gets out a couple hours later. And Ramsey's like, yeah, we're going to call you on that bluff. Nothing you can do this ship to make it brand new, right? But I also didn't know it was the world's largest cruise ship when it launched.
At one point, yeah, when it launched.
Can you even imagine that? That thing was so, it was like a dinghy.
Yeah, that's unreal. And to think that it was bigger than, like, when you think of the Titanic, you know, it was bigger than the Titanic by a long shot. And it was so small. When you come over the hill and you see it, you're like, that's the ship we're going on?
Yeah. Like, you feel like we could pick it up and move it if we had to. Like, you know, if it stalled on the side of the road.
That's right. Like, now it's the dinghy that pushes the other ships out, you know, pulls them out. That you know what? That, for all the crap we gave it, though, that had the largest conference center area of all of them for us. We had three separate giant rooms. We had one room put aside just for, like, our storage of things and counting the chips.
Yep.
And we had another room that was two-tiered. Sit-and-go room in the middle that was two-tiered. Yep. And then we had the first room on the other side that had, like, five or six tables in it. And it was, like, one of those, we had, like, 220 or 240 people on one of those cruises.
Yeah, I think more than 240. I think like around 249 or something like that.
Yeah, it was gigantic.
Largest cruise ever was on that ship.
Yep. Gigantic. And we had, like... What was that? Who was that online poker site that was with us for a while back in the day? They're called what was it?
Oh, Sherbet was on our logos, but no, Super Poker.
It had the color scheme of like rust and yellow, right? Yeah, and they had their big signs everywhere, and those guys spent a ton of money with us, not only with like the magazine, but even like on the cruise ship gambling and. Yeah, those are the good old days. Remember those good old days?
A lot of memories on the Monarch. Yes. Oh, man. If you sailed with us, you probably sailed on the Monarch because that we always had our biggest crowds because it was always so cheap.
Yeah, $199.
I think we sold them once for $199, somewhere around that.
It was like, it was like $199, then we added on a fee or something, but it ended up being like $230 out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
That was an awesome cruise.
Anyhow, R.I.P. Monarch of the Seas.
Wow, we went up on that tangent for like 8 minutes. All right, I'm getting to the Annie updates here. Papes, the Annie Up fans' free online tournament series on PokerStars' Play Money site, is available everywhere. Details on how you can join and all about it can be found at bit.ly/papes. So now, when I say that, do I need to tell them the rest of this? Because I tell them the details can be found at bit.ly. Scott likes to do things just to talk. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, but you know, it's marketing. The more information you give them, the more hooks you get into them.
But also, there's if you don't tell them enough, they're curious and they go check it out. You tell them everything.
That's true too.
All right. Well, games are on the 6th, 16th, and 26th every month, and of course, they're different games all the time. And there's always a tournament, a main event, and then a second chance. And of course, PokerStars gives you free chips, so you can get on there for free and play. Join the Annie Up Fans group Facebook page and post within the group to get feedback on hands, ask call to floor questions, or just discuss anything poker. Check out our 11 vintage Annie Up logo designs on merchandise at annieupmagazine.com/shop. And you know what you can get in merchandise, right? You know what merchandise is? T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, phone, laptop cases, coffee and drink mugs, and more. And the logos that are your choice are our Annie Up Magazine, Annie Up Pokercast, and Annie Up Pokertour logos. Also, if you have a hand of the week, listener spotlight, or call the floor submission, email us at podcastannieupmagazine.com or post in the aforementioned Annie Up fans group on Facebook. Today is a day we get to complete an O'Malley's move. Always love that. So we're going to hear part one right now. Refresh your memory, and we'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we are playing a $1, $2 no limit hold'em casino cash game. This is our regular casino, and we're relatively familiar with a couple of the players. We bought in for 200 and currently sit with around 300. The game is nine-handed. The blinds post, and the under the gun makes the table standard raise to $10. This player is a fairly tight player that can be aggressive and can get tilted. He tends to chase draws and turn hands into bluffs when he misses, but he doesn't often fly off the handle with these bluffs. He started the hand with around 250 after buying in for 200 as well. An MP calls, and it's on us with the button and the deuce of spades, deuce of diamonds. This is a fun hand to see a flop with. We're well within the margin of making this a profitable call. Since he's under the gun, fairly tight, and raised, we can put him on a pretty strong hand here. I'm guessing aces through maybe jacks. Jacks might be a little too weak for this player to raise from under the gun with. Ace-king and perhaps ace-queen. There's around $30 in the pot, and the flop comes the four of hearts, tray of hearts, deuce of hearts. The under the gun pretty quickly makes a $20 bet into the pot, and the MP almost instantly folds. All right, so we got some good news and some bad news here. This is a very coordinated flop, but unless our opponent had exactly ace-king or ace-queen of hearts, I'm guessing we're probably ahead here. Even still, I'd like to play some pot control and just call. I'm not all that worried about another heart coming down, and the board could pair, giving us a boat. There's $70 in the pot, and the turn is the 10 of spades. Our opponent once again leads out, this time for $50. This might be where we should have sprung our trap, but I'm still interested in pot control and calling for value here. We make the call. There's now $170 in the pot, and the river is the ace of clubs. Our opponent almost instantly shoves for his remaining stack, roughly a pot-sized bet. So, he never showed any signs of slowing down. What's the move?
All right, I really don't like this card. Yes, we have to put him on pocket aces or suited hearts to really be behind here because I'm not worried about the straight or set possibilities. But damn, doesn't it sound like we just let pocket aces get there? I didn't so much like our smooth calling all the way through, but I'm not sure it would have changed much. I think I'll call, but I also think I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I call too. I agree with you. I'm only afraid of the flush or a set of aces. It's really hard to fold when you have to find those very specific hands to lose to. So, and it's doubtful he has 5-5, five, unless he had 5-5. Given the description of this guy, I don't think he has that. So I'm going to call. I think it's worth a call here. Here comes part two.
Hello again. This, to me, was a very interesting hand. I've seen this opponent turn draws into bluffs before, but the ace of clubs on the end, taken in context with his preflop actions, does worry me a bit. I don't think this player has a flush. I think he most likely would have checked this flop if he had hit an ace-high flush. And he's not raising from under the gun with a suited king or queen, so a king or a queen-high flush is not very likely. I did pause to consider 10-10, but I don't see him raising preflop with 10s from under the gun. I know this player, and I've seen him call routinely with jacks in early position. Could this be something like ace-ace with the ace of hearts? That is the one hand I'm concerned with. There's no way he has any kind of a 5, and I think we can rule out any flushes pretty confidently. Knowing how this player plays, I'm pretty sure this is a missed draw, which means we're only behind one hand, and that is aces with the ace of hearts. I can't fold to one hand. We make the call. Our opponent confidently tables the ace of hearts, king of spades. We show our ducks and scoop a big pot. So, what did you think of my analyzation of this spot? Was my thinking flawed? Until next time, I'm Malcolm O'Malley saying sometimes you might have legitimate confidence and other times you might not. I hope to see you on the felt.
All right, good call. I think Mal probably put a little too much thought into this to get where you and I did, Chris, but too much thought is rarely a bad thing.
Yeah, no, his hand made a lot of sense, and that ace on the end really hurt the opponent, and he probably get nothing happens there on the end if he doesn't hit there, but hurt him, and we made the right call. I always love it when we do that. I'd like to see O'Malley make money.
Yeah, how many times have we always said, God, that river card sucked me in?
Yeah, exactly.
In hand, right?
That's exactly what happened.
Otherwise, we'd have been gone, but nope.
Yeah, that ace of hearts kept him all the way to the end, and then when he didn't get his heart, he hits the unfortunate ace, and we rake in a nice pot.
All right, start with the advancedpokertraining.com hand of the week. Send your hands for situations to podcast at antiupmagazine.com. If you haven't won something from us in the past year, you'll get a free membership to Advanced Poker Training, the world's number one poker training site. Thomas Filipek back in the house this week, Chris.
All right.
And let's see. He said this is from a $1, $2 no-limit hold'em cash game at Foxwoods before the COVID-19 shutdown.
Oh, man, I miss Foxwoods.
Yeah, a moment of silence just... Okay. he says, I started the session with $200, and after losing a couple big hands, including one hand where I flopped a set and lost to a flush, and one where I flopped a king-high flush and lost to a flopped ace-high flush, I added a total of $400. I am after the last time I topped off at 300, I slowly but steadily built my stack back up to about 660 and was starting to think about ending the session up $60 when the following hand occurred. Oh, ominous signs. This is like,
I was going to say, that's one of those up and down rides that...
The Geico commercial. No, it's going to the barn with all the chainsaws.
Oh, man, that's an old commercial.
So good one, though. Man, I don't want to work for the man anymore, but if I had to work for the man, I want to work for Geico.
Yeah.
Yeah, blast to work on this commercial.
I got to tell you, I was thinking of this the other day. I defy you to find an insurance company commercial that isn't funny anymore. Not funny to us, but like they don't take it seriously ever. There is insurance company where they're like, hey, you know, even Allstate now is doing like, hey, that's save 40% guy over there. Hey, that's save 40% guy. And now they got the actors doing, and he's like, what's going on here? Now even Allstate has caved and is doing these comic bits for their commercials, you know? And I don't remember hardly any of them or who they are with other than the Allstate one, because they were finally the one that caved and went in, all right, let's all do slapstick crap, you know?
Yeah, Mayhem Men, you got the Liberty Mutual ostrich thing. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's on, and that whole slogan, Liberty, 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 give me a break.
Yeah, hey, but it's stuck in your brain, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not going to use them. It annoyed me so much that I never would use them now.
Okay, we'll see. all right, our hero was in the big blind. And he says, I follow my habit and not look at my cards until the action came around to me. Very good practice
Smart
for everybody to you. Under gun player raised preflop to $7. And six others called. Wow.
Jeez.
He says, there's a lot of action for this table. And he says, including the under the gun plus three, he was very aggressive, very tricky, and had a large stack, almost 500 in front of him. He says, I was hoping to have a hand that would justify calling an additional $5 when I looked down at two red kings.
Shove. End of hand. See you next
week. Hey, he wanted to have a hand that he could call.
I
now
know.
You're telling him not to call.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to call because he wanted to have like a speculative hand. Now he's got to deal with some crap here. And well, six people calling at $7. So that's seven players in for $49 already. You got to make it a pretty steep raise, I think, to narrow it a little. You certainly don't want to go up against seven, eight players or whatever it is with kings.
No,
so, and you're going to be out of position.
With kings, can't do that.
No, and you're going to be out of position. So you really need to make it a pretty decent boost, like $50-$60. And then someone's going to think you're just trying to steal it. And then someone's going to have a set mine hand, and they're going to like call. So you might get two callers from that.
Yeah.
If it comes all unders, you know, you'll be happy, but you're always going to wonder, did somebody hit? Hey, I think I rhymed in there somewhere. Unders and wonder. All right. Anyway,
next Paula Abdul commercial.
I think for sure we're going to have to make a pretty big raise, and we're probably going to get at least two callers, but we're going to need to do it. So here we go. Make a raise.
Yep. So we're doing about 50, right?
Yeah, 50, 60, something like that.
All right. Our hero says, I could hardly believe it. I would have been happy to take down the pod and finish the session up over 100, so I raised to $50. The under a gun thought a bit and folded, but the under a gun plus two and plus three both called.
Of course.
And it says there was a moment after the second call where I was afraid that everyone else would call, but they didn't. Wow, can you imagine that? You raised 15, you get seven callers.
Unreal. Wow. Of course, then you want to see a king high rainbow flop, and then you'll drool
all
over it.
Yeah, that's about the only thing you want to see at that point. But All right, with two callers, the flop is came out. The king of spades was in the window, and I was thrilled.
Wow.
And then the dealer spread out the flop, and I saw the ten of spades. And then the eight of spades. So we flopped our flop top set, but the spades are out there.
But of course spades are out there and straight draws are out there, of course. This is one of those hands where you got to – I think you have to bet pretty big, but not so big that you're screwed. You still have outs, even if somebody somehow had that flush. But I think can't be completely scared here. You can't always just put somebody on a flush. And even if you did, your board can still pair. So let's see. We got two callers, so that was 150 plus the original. So we're going to almost 200 in the pot anyway. So I'd probably bet pot. I'd probably bet 200 or around 180. So. Yeah.
Yep. Because here's the thing. I mean, we always got to remember that the odds of somebody flopping a flush are, I forget what exactly it are, but it's pretty remote, right? So you tend to get a little scared by that, but you don't. You really shouldn't be. And particularly when you have top set, because as you're right, as you mentioned, you still can improve. You can boat up. You can hit that case king. So, you know, you've got a little bit more backup there than if you're sitting on an ace-king hand without the ace of spades, right? So
I looked it up for you. 118 to 1 of flopping a flush.
Yeah.
118 to 1. That's 0.8%. Now, here's the problem is that in the back of his mind, he's remembering when he lost to those flushes with sets earlier, or then he flopped another flush that lost to an ace-high flush. So in the back of his mind, he's thinking, okay, I can't forget this. It's too recent in my memory. I'm going to bet big here. So I don't disagree with that. Let's bet big.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I'm feeling pretty confident here. And if somebody plays back at me, I think I'm still going to feel kind of confident because there are going to be people that are going to try to take advantage of us. And there's a chance they might have the spades already. But
right.
But I'm not going to be scared here. So, all right. Channeling what Chris said, our hero says, having lost big hands to flushes earlier. I was a little sick, but I knew that I had to try to get any flush draws out, so I bet 200. Wow, look at this.
Wow.
Since 200 was slightly more than the size of the pot, I didn't expect anyone to call who didn't have a serious hand. Undergun plus 2 folded, and my spirits improved, but the undergun plus 3 called. Did he have the flush? The turn card is the 4 of clubs, so once again, our board now is the king of spades, 10 of spades, 8 of spades, 4 of clubs, and again, back on us.
So there's probably 600 in the pot. We started with 660. We bet 200 plus the 50. Yeah, so we're down to basically 400. There's 600 in the pot. I probably am thinking about shoving. I don't know. I feel like...
Well, we're not going to fold if he shoves if we check. I mean, I guess you could do the chip, the whole check pot control thing, but are we really going to fold here? Do we really put this guy on the flush enough that we're going to fold top set for this big pot?
Plus, if the guy flopped a flush here and it's not the absolute nuts, he's probably going to raise our $200 bet, thinking that there's no way we're going to get away from that hand with only 400 left in front of us. So he probably would have raised us if he had the flush already. I feel like, yeah, sometimes you call there and get tricky, but if the board pairs, then you're like, nah, you're screwed. So I think that the guy might have wanted to get it all in with you after that flop if he had the flush and you were the one that bet out 200. Because if you bet 200, like you said, that's a serious bet. Anyone who has a serious hand is only going to be able to call. So that means you also have to have a serious hand there. It seems odd that you try to, out of position, bluff all these people with nothing. So I feel like he doesn't have the spades. I feel like we're ahead, and I think we're going to shove now. And maybe this guy's got, what was it? It was King 10. Maybe this guy's got a set, you know, like us. And we got silver set, and we finally got, you know, redemption.
Yep.
But one way or the other, I'm going to bet. And if I'm going to bet, I'm probably going to shove, which sucks, because if we lose, we went through all this trouble to get all this money back, and now he's going to end up losing his whole roll. But I still think I'm going to shove here, protect my hand, in case the guy only has, like, because he does have a draw. You know, like the ace of spades or something. So,
yeah, I don't want to give him a free card again to get it at this point.
Exactly.
So,
and I'll bet.
If we check any bets, then I'm going to call anyhow, so might as well get it in right now.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing to keep in mind, too. This guy's been described as very aggressive, very tricky. So this is the kind of guy that can get you to lay down this set of kings. I don't want to give him the chance of getting me, tricking me into laying down my set of kings. That's probably good. So if I get it all in now, he can't get me to fold. And if I'm wrong and if he did wake up with the flush here, then, you know, I got one more chance on the river to boat up or hit my quads. So I am not going to let him push me off this hand. I feel confident. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is I don't even know what this guy has for a stack. I don't know if he has us covered. If we have him covered, it's not even that big of an issue.
500, almost 500.
Almost 500. So there you go. So even if I lose... And this guy had 4 something in front of him. I'll still have 260 in front of me or something. So I there's no way I don't bet here, and probably is going to be a shove.
Yeah, I'm shoving here. I just am. You know, if he's on some sort of draw, I want to put every dollar I have in there to make it a bad call. I don't know if, even if I do that, it's a bad call for him. But, you know, yeah. I'm just shoving. That's the only thing I'm thinking right now.
So. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Here it says, I wasn't sure if the under the gun plus three had hit the flush on the flop and was just playing with me. I looked over and saw that he had about 200 in front of him, so I was tempted to bet another 200, but I thought a bit and only bet an even 100. I figured if he had a flush, he would have raised, but he only called.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at this point, what's he calling for? If he's going for the flush, that's the only reason I would think to call, right? If you had unless he thinks we have the flush and he's trying to hit a boat and he has a set of tens or something, right? Why just call there? We only had 100 behind or whatever.
That's the case because then we get him beat. So yeah.
Okay. Well, now that he only bet 100, there's no way that no matter what happens on the river, there's no way I'm folding to no matter what happens because the guy's only got about 100 left and there's like 800 in this pot. So.
And at this point, we haven't waved the white flag, but we've got it out and dusted it off, right?
So, yeah.
So, I mean, here's the thing is, you know, maybe on the river now, if we don't improve, then I check and then hope he checks behind. And if he has the beat, then we save $100. But if we check and he bets, then it's going in. So, I mean, it should have gone in on the turn anyhow. So, I guess that there's something to think about there, But let's hope we improve.
You think if a blank comes on the river, you would check?
Well, I think we have the option now. Again, because we played it a little weak, in my opinion, a little weakly there. I mean, I would have got it all in and not worried about it. But we have options now because we still have some money behind. So, you know.
I don't mind
that's
that play.
A way to go, but, you know.
I mean, when he turns over the hand that's less than yours, you'll be like, damn, I could have gotten more out of this guy. But. At the same time, you know, although I guess if he has the flush and then you check again and then he bets, you're not folding. So I'm not sure.
You're right. That scenario is not going to happen where that $100 stays on the table.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless.
Yeah. If
he was drawing the spade and didn't get the spade.
Right. He might check behind and had hit a pair or something with the, you know, at the turn or something like he had ace four spades or something and hit the four. But other than that, you're either going to be really disappointed you checked and he checked behind because then you know you had him beat and you might have got more money out of him. Or if you check and then he shoves, now you've got to put yourself to the test and you have to call and then you can see he showed you the flush. So no matter what you do now, you're going to be kind of disappointed unless you check, he shoves, you call, and you have the better hand. You know, he has that set of tens or whatever the other card was. It's interesting. This is why I would have shoved on the turn because this guy's tricky too.
Yeah. All right, the river is the tray of diamonds. So the final board is king of spades, ten of spades, eight of spades, four of clubs, tray of diamonds. And, of course, we are first act.
Well, you know what we thought. We were thinking the guy was drawing or had a set. It's one or the other. So either we're ahead. Both scenarios for us were ahead because we don't think he has the flush. And we think the flush would have bet more than our, if we had only 100 behind, we think he shoves if he had the flush. So there's no reason not to bet here. I mean, I think
the trade doesn't help anything. So,
no, you know. I'd bet. Probably just shove. Whatever that guy has, I'd bet.
All right. So our hero decides to check, and our opponent shoves all in for $129.
Yeah, I can't fold. There's so much out there, and I have top set. And the only thing that's really beating me is a flush. And if he'd had the flush, we already went through the system and thought about, okay, he probably would have bet more somewhere along the line or raised us. So I'm going to call that 129 and just hope he has two pair or a set.
All right. Here it says, if I folded, I would still have more than 300. But after some thought, I realized the pot was too big and I had to call, so I did. I announced a set of kings, turned my kings over. My opponent tabled pocket tens for a set of tens.
Yes.
My opponent quietly packed up and left the table, but the player who had the dealer button leaned over and quietly told me that he had folded the 6-7 of spades preflop. But I didn't care.
Who cares?
It was a huge win. I was happy to end the session, so I went to the cage and cashed it. So, yeah, set 10s. You mentioned that early on.
Yeah. It's the only other hand that made sense there other than drawing. And when the guy bet, then it's like, okay, well, now you're either bluffing because, you know, either you already had it or you're bluffing. And so it didn't make sense that he had it by the way he played it exactly to me. I mean, you know, we're idiots. So there could be somebody out there ripping us apart right now. But to me, it didn't seem like this guy had the flush, because he would have put us on a big hand the way we were betting it, even pre-flop the way we were betting it, and he would have known that we wouldn't have folded, so he would have gotten it in with us, and he didn't. So to me, it felt like he was worried we had the flush, and then in the end when we checked and we didn't, we had the nuts. If we had the nuts, we wouldn't have checked. That's why he put in his last 129 thinking he was probably good. Yeah. And then saw the bitter pill that he had to swallow.
Yeah, so I think maybe this was the only way to get this stack. If we were to play it our way, maybe we would have scared him away at some point.
Yeah. And also he shoved on the flop. Maybe on the flop he called.
Hard to say that would have been the case, because, you know, I mean, we're talking about top set, and second top set is almost the same thing here. So
yeah, it's not like it's Omaha. That's a big deal when you get middle set and hold them. But, well, man, what a session you had, too.
Yeah,
he got back to up 60, and then he basically doubles through, but he ended up being up like 460 at the end of that.
Got up and went to the cage. And that's what you do. Because here's the other problem: now you want to ride this rush, right? Now you feel invincible.
No, you got to get up.
Now you're up over $1,000, and you're like, man, I want to play some more. I want another coffee. Bring it over, folks. I'm gonna be here all night.
You got to have discipline and willpower to win in this game. Damn it.
Yep.
So, hey, I'm Chris Cosenza,
and I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table someday.
Anti-Up is a production of AntiUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AntiUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@AntiUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.